honourable members, good afternoon. I think let's start now. The meeting is official open. We have an agenda in front of us. Is there any proposal that we can adopt the agenda as it is? Honourable Msangna?
Chair, I will move that we adopt the agenda as it is.
Thank you, Honourable Msangna. Is there any second? Honourable Tetua?
I second because I don't know if somebody to add.
Thank you, Honourable Mohapi.
Chairperson, thanks for the opportunity. Chair, without really directing a committee, but can I make a humble request? Flexibility in terms of time, most of the time, especially where our committee constitutes of adults, I don't think it's really healthy at times to have afternoon meetings. Perhaps if we can just either the meeting has 12, if we are saying that it's late, please, not 12.
Thank you, it's noted. Thank you. Honourable members, I think let's introduce ourselves to the magistrate, Mr. Mayor. My name is Dumisani Kimbi. I'm the chairperson of this committee, Security and Justice. I'm a permanent delegate from the Western Cape. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is James Mtetra, a permanent delegate from KwaZulu-Natal, also a whip of this committee.
All right. Chair, I thought Mr. Mayor is already, you know, part of us, unless the person who accompanied me for today. But for him, I don't think he's still doubting who is that. Well, I'm still the same to the judge.
Good afternoon. My name is Morgan Chetty, permanent delegate from KZN.
Good afternoon. My name is George Michalakis, permanent delegate from the Free State.
Good afternoon. Bronwyn Engelbrecht, permanent delegate from Gauteng.
Good afternoon. My name is Jihad Mahasri. I'm a permanent delegate from the Free State.
Good afternoon. My name is Mutsi Titus Msanga. From Bumalanga, permanent delegate, member of this committee.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think you can introduce the lady next to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, members. This is Ms. Lesego Makalomakwe. She's my colleague, also a magistrate in judicial quality assurance, magistrate serving the ethics division of the committee, or the commission.
Thank you very much. You are welcome here, Mr. Mayor, and as a commission. Honourable member, the magistrate commission is here to brief us, to brief this committee about reports dated 18 September 2016 on provisional suspended magistrates. Mr. Mayor, over to you. Can you, the committee is listening to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Can I start off with the report of Ms. Malashlela? Chairperson, all these magistrates are currently provisionally suspended from office, pending investigations, misconduct inquiries into their fitness to hold office. We need to file these progress reports on a three-monthly basis. Ms. Malashlela, we have reported to you quite some time from now on. She was charged with misconduct, 29 counts of misconduct, and the charge sheet was served on the 5th of March 2014. She, on the 18th of June 2014, filed a notice of motion at the North Gauteng High Court, citing the Commission and the matter and the Minister of Justice, respectively the first and the fourth respondents. She applied for an order of the court inter alia to declare the Commission's decision to charge her with misconduct to be wrongful and unlawful. This application is opposed. It is still the disciplinary inquiry. We commenced with the disciplinary inquiry, but the presiding officer ruled on the request of the defense to keep the disciplinary inquiry in abeyance, pending the outcome of the matter on the High Court. This matter is currently pending in the High Court. We haven't had a date yet. We have learned from the State Attorney's Office when doing follow-up inquiries that she didn't proceed with her application, so we requested the State Attorney's Office to place the matter on the roll. We're just waiting for that, and then we can continue with the inquiry.
Chairperson, thanks for the update as required by the law that it should be done on a quarterly basis. I'm a bit concerned, Chairperson, I don't hear it in between the last briefing of the committee and today, any progress that seem to be, you know, taken on board. Without, you know, undermining the rights of everybody, including the magistrates, when they are supposed to deal with issues of hearing and discipline. Something must be done to, you know, try and fast track this case. Mm. It doesn't go well when we are forever justifying paying people that are at home since 2013, 2014, 20, you know, until today. Really. I don't want to sound like I don't respect the rights of people to be heard and defend their rights. But either we should work on a law that say in a particular time this thing should have happened, and say that, or, you know, appear and argue a case within this period, automatically the employer should be given the right to dismiss you if it was going that direction. It's frustrating, Jefferson. It's frustrating, and I think if it frustrates me sitting here, think about an ordinary citizen of South Africa who have known me, who have known Ms. Malahlela from the period he has been suspended, and then, you know, continuously earning the salary, the life goes as usual without, and I guess wherever they are, they're doing something, you know. They might be running business, they might be, you know. I think somewhere some sense of rationale, and I think it should come from us, that some sense of rationale in tightening the open space, that it cannot be a space for life, because if there are people who have moved beyond 4 years, and they have not yet completed. We are still counting, and you can. This is one of them, Chair. And I'm just, you know, thought the one have to echo the worry and frustration that
is getting out of these cases. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Actually, I wanted to also actually at the okay, so that the Honorable Tobajan has spoken about the Chair. Sorry? Chair? Chair, of course, really it is, I don't know what is the Magistrate Commission doing on in this regard, because the Act, I presume that the Act does specify a period of dealing with a charge, a case. On the Act does specify the period. That if it does not, I think we need to do something in that regard, Chair, because we can't have a magistrate from last year, 2014, 2015, 2016. She's being suspended, but she's getting paid. Really, this is not fair to taxpayers. Something must be done. You have the Magistrate Commission that sits. That actually this magistrates that are dealing with the what do you call them, the one who are dealing with the cases,
presiding officer,
the presiding officers, they are having a duty to conclude these cases. And now if they can't conclude the cases, then and every time when we see, they bring back the very same people, the very same people whom we expected that they should have dealt with him long ago. It's not fair to this committee and to our society. Really, we must send a clear message that this attitude must be corrected, Chair. In actual fact, especially Miss Malahlela, always when you come here, you will always have Miss Malahlela. Something must be done. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, do you want to say something? Oh, sorry. Honourable Member.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I concur with my fellow colleagues. I would just like to find out from the Magistrates Commission if they can give us an indication of what the cost of this Mashlela magistrate has been of the suspension. What is the cost to the taxpayer, please?
So, listen, thanks very much. I think it's not for the first time that we deal with this matter. And sometimes back I indicated that at times justice delayed is justice denied. But if you check in terms of the same report that is before us, there are no clear stipulations. For example, I can take you to bullet number 2.22. The commission requested the last paragraph, sentence. The commission requested the Office of the State Attorney to attend to the matter as a matter of urgency. What is a matter? What is a matter of urgency? How do you measure it in this case on a matter that has been dragging for so long? You go further to the second paragraph, 2.23. Again, if you check, a date for Ms. Malahlela's application to be heard will thereafter be have to be said. But if you read the sentence preceding that one, the commission has been advised that both parties are to be filed at the High Court shortly. What is this shortly? What is really informing all this? And you go further. The delay has also caused a stage where a person leading the evidence due to other commitments has to recuse himself. In this case, we have appointed the other one who will have to familiarize himself or herself with the report. Against all that I've raised, Chairperson, link it up to 1.2, which is the provision of Section 13, Subsection 3E of the Act. That stipulates clearly the timelines that 60 days from the date of suspension, unless the commission within that period commences its inquiry into the alleged in question by causing a written notice containing the allegation concerned to be sent on the magistrate. So in this case, how do you interpret the lifespan of this matter against this provision? Which one supersedes in this case, an act or this delaying tactic that is either played by both sides or what? I'm not sure. So I just want to get clarity on that.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor.
And Chair, with due respect, if you can check how other cases in this country are being attended urgently, you will start to ask yourself why these ones are addressed. Perhaps maybe we need also to get clarity. What is informing a delay in terms of a case in this case? Because others, whether a person would be on trial, if they want to perpetuate it to be completed within a short space of time, you do it. But this one is right from 2013, it's now 2016. So I think we need to get clarity, Chairperson.
Thank you. Over to Mr. Mayor. Oh, sorry, there's another member here. Honorable one.
Thank you, Chairperson. In the same document, when you go at the look of things within the structures that are working in this issue of Ms. Maslalel, there's also an ethic group. This ethic committee has made a resolve that a judicial quality assurance report on the judicial work of the magistrate must be submitted for consideration. When was that court resolution? What was the consideration that was referred to? And secondly, I want to concur with Engelbrecht in terms of the cost. My colleague, this cost of my must also, that cost include all of them, because we have been talking about this. I never seen in my life, Chairperson, where the suspension is the term of office of the parliament is 5 years. Even this thing are going to take the same 5 years. What is the cost in that? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Malasela. Honorable Mayor, Mr. Mayor, thank you. Over to your second, please.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think we also share your concerns about the delay in finalizing these type of misconduct inquiries. One should just bear in mind that the presiding officers presiding over these matters are also judicial officers. The person leading the evidence is also a magistrate, so we have to take them out of court. But that's not the issue at hand at the moment. Ms. Malashida took us to court, and the presiding officer ruled that we should await the outcome of the matter, pending the outcome of the High Court application. Now, we are, from the Commission side, from our Ethics Division side, we are really in consultation with the State Attorney's Office to have this matter expedited, but then they filed their papers late, etc., etc. I share the concerns with all the members that we should finalize these misconduct inquiries against magistrates as soon as possible, and the Act makes provision for that. It must be done as soon as possible. But a magistrate also, it's like an accused in court. They have a right to be represented, a right to be legally represented. If they submit you a sick leave certificate, we have to postpone. In this case, there's a pending High Court matter. We can't overrule the presiding officer's ruling to, in this instance, say you must proceed with the misconduct inquiry. We did in certain other instances, which you will notify just now in the other reports. But in this regard, we're just waiting for the papers to be filed. Well, the heads of arguments have already been filed by the State Attorney on behalf of the Minister and the Commission. We're just waiting for the other members. But with regard to the misconduct inquiry itself, it does. She has been suspended from office for some time now. It costs the taxpayer a lot of money, I agree. It's a concern to the Commission as well. That's why we really wanted to deal with these matters expeditiously. The person who was initially appointed to lead the evidence as a senior magistrate, he was appointed to Mamelodi, and he had a very difficult situation where he has to leave his office, leave the evidence in this matter, consult with the Ms. Malashida's legal team, etc. It takes a lot of time, so he wanted to be excused. So I'm actually the person who is to lead the evidence in this matter, and I have already consulted with the attorney in this regard, with regard to the merits of the matter, whether we could just proceed or not. Chairperson, yeah, the 60 days, that's why the act says we should proceed as soon as possible, and we should proceed with the misconduct inquiry in 60 days. The interpretation which the commission has is that as soon as a charge sheet has been served, that is the notice of hearing. So from 60 days on, we should proceed with our, and the commencement is actually, the commencement of the inquiry commences when this charge sheet is served on her. So we are within the time limits, but I share the concerns, and I've listened, and I will ask the commission to also assist us in having this matter dealt with finally and concluded.
Thank you, sir. Is there any way that they can stop payment? That maybe if they can win the case, then we can give them the package. Then if they lose the case, they lose the case. Is there any way of that? We can suspension without payment?
Of course, I would say, Chair, in terms of your Labor Regulation Act, as public, they are public office bearers, isn't it? Yes. So you can't suspend salary unless you, if he's in suspension, you can't stop his or her salary until you conclude the case in terms of the regulation, in terms of the Labor Regulation Act. So what we need to do here is just to check whether the commission itself cannot try to prioritize, especially this one, because I understand it was the thing that they were taken to court. They need to wait for the outcome of the court. While considering that, let them also consider that as Parliament we are requesting that please let them speed up this case. It has dragged a long time. I think that is the only solution. Because now you see we are worried of the money that is the cost. We see now we want to know how much it's been cost. It's costing us to pay Ms. Malasela. That itself as an oversight committee is going to be a challenge to us. We must then account to our society why we have spent so much money for a particular case. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. But I want to hear from you, Commissioner, whether is there any way of that as a commissioner or as this committee, we can stop all. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chairperson, yes. Although we are public office bearers, magistrates, the commission can determine to withhold the remuneration and make such a determination and ask the minister to table a report in this regard in Parliament. Labour law is in, we're just guided by the labour law, but the labour law is not applicable to magistrates since they're public office bearers and independent. If there is reason to believe, and we have done this before, that the particular magistrate is delaying the misconduct inquiry against them by taking us to the High Court or whatever reason there may be, the Commission made ask us to show cause why the Commission should not determine to withhold the remuneration. Then this can be done. And we are backed up by the Constitutional Court's judgment in the Van Rooyen matter, where even provisionally suspended magistrates, we take their salaries and withhold the salaries. But that's of course another issue. So, but in this instance, I believe that the commission can ask it to show cause why she should not, why her salary should not be withheld.
Happy, thanks, sir.
Chairperson, the situation would differ from one case to the other. This is not one glove fits all. you can't come and say if it happened with another case, then it's automatic with this one. It will automatically be applicable. I'm saying this thing, Chairperson. Remember, you are dealing with a disciplinary measure. And a part of the disciplinary measure's principle is that it shouldn't be punitive. That is not the purpose. Unless if someone says we want to be punitive, then you can enforce such a problem. Because in terms of admission from Mr. Mayor, it's very clear both delays are dual. They are from their side and from the side of the person who's supposed to be subjected to disciplinary hearing. So in this case, Chairperson, there was a question posed earlier on, what are the cost implications? Cost implications not only from the side of the suspended person, but cost implication also from the side, if there's, I know in other cases, whenever they appoint people to preside over the case, there's an allowance that is also being paid off. If it's there, we need also to know whether from the side, because either way, it's happening all over where someone is chairing the disciplinary hearing, and there's a deliberate delay just to accumulate more resources. So I just want to check from the side of the commission, whoever that is, the leading person of the case, is there any allowance that is being put forth? If it is there, how much is it? The suspension to date, how much is it in terms of the cost? Because it's not a question that was responded to.
Honorable Engelberg.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm just waiting for my response regarding the cost. And then I just at the same time like to say that if you look at the rules in terms of remuneration for public servants, it says very clearly that the period of suspension must be reasonable and justifiable. And then if suspended, the person is entitled to a speedy and effective finalization. So I think that we have serious grounds to debate the speedy and effective finalization of this case. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor?
Chair, with regard to the costs, the salary paid to a magistrate momentarily is 800, it's a package, I think it's 838,000 rand a year. So if you talk about 3 years, an average of 800,000, maybe a bit less, that would be the cost. And of course, the fact that she's suspended from office, someone else has to perform her office official functions and duties as well. So those judicial functions need to be done either by someone else within the same cluster, or them as being acting magistrate. And of course, those people are getting paid. With regard to the presiding officer and the person leading evidence, those are magistrates, and they perform these functions over and above the normal court functions without any allowance. They're not getting paid for this. This is all, of course, the traveling and the consultations, accommodation costs to attend to the misconduct inquiry itself. Those are costs which are costing in the case itself. But there are no allowances paid extra to the presiding officer or to the person leading the evidence.
Chair, follow up. What do you mean consultation? Can you try and give us a breakdown? Luckily, we are talking to a person who's a leading person in this matter. Can you give us a breakdown? How much is your traveling to date?
Chairperson, I was not involved in this matter initially. I'm only appointed now in May. But if I need to go to Delmas, then I have to travel with, on state expense, of course, and consult with the attorney or whoever the other witnesses, wherever they are. Accommodation, I think there's no need for us to stay over, so you can travel to and fro. So that's not very costly. At the moment, since the disciplinary inquiry did not proceed the way we wanted it to be concluded already, there was only consultation taking place between the previous person leading evidence and the other witnesses, as well as the person who conducted the preliminary investigation that he came to, Pretoria.
Sorry, if I was you, I'm going to say you'll submit that in details, because now it's not clear, you know. You have got a right to say you'll submit all those things in writing and to the committee, because now we cannot hear, I don't hear you exactly traveling in all those things. That's go and consult and submit to the committee the cost of the whole case. Thank you very much. I don't know whether I'm right or I'm happy, because I can see. Thank you, sir.
Chairperson, I think it's fair enough, because we know we don't expect Mr. Mayor to come such information, so it will be more helpful. Even if it's a matter that will still be attended to, there will always be budget forecast where you'll make your own projections in terms of this matter. Also, the acting allowance for whoever that is acting, what are the costs to date, so that when you come back and say we take note of the report, we need to look into it. Chairperson, my emphasis around this matter is informed by the bullet .3. To date, the permanent appointment could not be finalized due to poor performance, irregularities at their work, absenteeism, refusal to execute lawful orders, major delays in judgment, failure to finalize matters, poor utilization of court time. A evaluation report indicates she is not fit or proper person for appointment as a magistrate. If you check, most of these issues, they are relating to performance. And I'm saying, Chairperson, issue of performance can always be remedies in terms of trying to address them. So I'm just saying, as and when we deal with this matter next time, because I know for that matter, even last time I said, if there are capacity building programs, are they having a bearing in terms of outputs? You know, because you are talking about professionals, people who happen to undergo school, were able to qualify to have a particular qualification that warranted them to be where they are. So I'm just asking myself whether a problem is it with people that are really working with these people, or is the problem with these people? Because honestly speaking, these are clear performance assessment. You know, but we are seated here with a case that has been delayed for years. So I'm just saying it, as much as they'll be coming with the report around the cost implications, can they also look at the other option? Not only that only side that you suggested, that let's terminate the salary. Either we say reinstate while we are awaiting the case. Look at that possibility also.
Thank you, Chair. Noted.
Chair, I'd just like to note, make one comment. We were mentioned that it was 3 years that this magistrate has been on suspension, but if you look at this document, the problems actually started in 2009. So it's not just a 3-year period. So I think when we look at the cost, we need to evaluate the actual real cost to the taxpayer in terms of this person. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The date when she was previously suspended from office was the 17th of July 2014. So that was the day when she was suspended from by the minister, and from day on she did not act in court at all. Previously she would appear in court, she would perform her usual functions, although we have problems with that. Like you said, she was not seem to be fit. There was an evaluation report and a training report, but I will report on that on the next report.
Honourable one.
Chairperson, I'm sure at this question I'm referring to all of us as members of Parliament. Is there any need of us to listen to all these people, because these documents, I'm sure it's the first time that we're having this document. Why don't we say, maybe we stop at E, then what has been suggested by Mhape and Engelbrecht in terms of the costs must include those other magistrates. It's my proposal. Yes. Because it's a restoring documentation, this thing. A, B, C, D, E. Then he can present F, because this is a returning documentation. We know this thing. And I don't know whether it's us who must give the time frame of this issue or is the commission. That's the question that I wanted to ask from the commission. The time frames of finishing, it depends on us. Because it depends on us, I don't think it can take a year. Or it depends on the commission. If it depends on the commission, or it depends on the court, the president judge need to be notified about this thing.
As all the members agreed about this, so that we can just go to EF. And if it's that, I will also ask from Mr. Mayor, if maybe in others there are other things that they are new that he can tell the committee, if any new things to from the committee, and from B, C, D, E. Thank you.
Yeah, now, Chairperson, we can proceed with the agenda as it is, if you don't mind. We can start with Mr. Moraka then.
Mr. Meraki. Mr. Meraki, okay.
I'll give over to Ms. Lesego.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Meraki was charged with theft, and also the misconduct hearing was proceeded. He was convicted on the 11th of April, 2011. And there was the delay because he intended to file application for leave to appeal. And when he was not prosecuting the appeal, he started to serve his sentence. And the misconduct proceedings also proceeded. Evidence were led by the commission as well as by Mr. Meraki. And the case was set down for hearing on the 26th of September, 2016, after parties has filed heads of argument for the parties to address the presiding officer on the merits and demerits. But on the 26th of September, 2016, all the parties convened, and the legal representative of Mr. Meraki informed the presiding officer that Mr. Meraki was sick, and due to ill health, the parties could not address the presiding officer. And
no, Chairperson, no. This issue of Mr. Meraki, we are aware of it. And secondly, there's this list of people with their case numbers. If it was a theft, why is not listed in this? Because I've gone through this document, but it's not listed here. In front of me, report on partly held matters. Ne? Why is not listed? Because he should have a record as its case number one, record RSCZ161-04, accused name Richard Kalem. Why, if it was theft, it is not listed here?
Mr. Mayor?
Chairperson, I think the Honourable Member refers to F.
It's
the Hollis matter. It's not Meraki's matter.
We're talking about Meraki. Meraki, which is B, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, B.
Yes.
So, Honourable Member.
Let me clarify this, Chairperson.
Yeah.
I'm saying, if what has been explained by the lady around the issue of Meraki is in the issue of theft, if I've listened clearly, my question is, here there's an attachment of a report of magic of people who have been having cases. Ne? The number one is said RCZ161-06, Richard Kepel. His position is on merit. He charges rape. My question is, first appearance date is reflected. If that Moraga is a thief or is alleged to have stolen something, why is not in this list? That's my question. If this thing is fair and consolidated, and it was bringing to us for consideration, why that Moraga, a thief, is not listed here?
Can you answer the question?
Chairperson, the presiding officer is not Mr. Hawley in these matters. It was another magistrate who was presiding in this matter. But I think my colleague can proceed if you don't, if it's fine with you, Chairperson. We will deal with Mr. Hall with the list as soon as we deal with Mr. Hall's matter.
I think let's proceed, and then we'll ask questions after if she finished the presentation. Can we allow her to proceed, honourable members? Please proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Moraga started to serve his sentence on the 27th of January 2016. He's currently incarcerated, and the misconduct hearing could not proceed on the 26th of September 2016 because the presiding officer was informed that Mr. Moraga is sick. But the hearing is at the stage where the parties must only address the presiding officer. Heads of argument have been filed, and then the verdict will be delivered thereafter. Thank you, Chair.
You want to remember? We can ask questions now. Thank you. Mohapi?
Chairperson, I just want to get clarity. If we check in terms of the case of Mr. Moraga, there's been postponement of the inquiry for both parties to submit heads of argument in terms of 2.14. But if you go to further, it says Mr. Moraga advised the presiding officer he was not placed in funds for drafting heads of argument and indicated that judgment may be delivered in his absence. Since Mr. Moraga is incarcerated, the question is why should we still pursue it even if it's incarcerated? I'm asking the presenter.
Thank you, honourable member. The criminal proceedings as well as the misconduct hearings are different things. So he's incarcerated because he's been convicted of a criminal offence. So like
he's in jail, yeah.
He's in jail.
Yes.
And the misconduct hearing is something different. Is that he did not conduct himself in terms of the code of conduct, or his conduct was unethical. So the misconduct hearing has to proceed and be finalized, because then the commission must determine whether he's fit or not fit to hold office after the misconduct hearing has been conducted. So they run. Yes. And sometimes after being convicted of a criminal offence, the commission do add another charge of misconduct, because it's also misconduct to be convicted of a criminal offence as a magistrate. So it becomes another misconduct hearing.
What's funky?
Yes, after being convicted, then the commission institute another misconduct hearing to say he contravened the regulation because he has been convicted of a criminal offense.
Okay.
No, Chair, I think we shouldn't be confused. The Criminal Procedure Act runs its own, you know, processes. Whether you found guilt or not guilty, the magistrate's commission will run its course. It's not even going to be influenced by the decision. Maybe that's where the issue of when Malahlela, the court said she applied that the court should stop the commission to proceed on the inquiry, because you would want that first. That's why it doesn't make sense. But logically, it is very clear that whether you, this one found you guilty, the other one, you have to run all of them, because you bear in mind that as they are categorized as public office bearers, they are also governed by the code of conduct of themselves outside, you know, the normal. Thank you. I think members understand that there are two cases on this. Order, members. Are there any questions, members? Members, order. Order, members.
The question is,
Chair, it can be. Is it Mr. Mrak on suspension with pay or not? I think that's where it becomes, you know, a contested area.
Thank you, Chairperson. He's been suspended without pay.
Thank you. Any other questions, honourable members? If not, honourable members, I think we can jump to F next. Mr. Mayor, is there any?
Can we C?
C, okay. Sorry.
Homo?
Correct, Homo.
Chairperson, can we assist? The challenge is one. You can't. This case is different from one to the other. If we check the earlier one, we wanted to check the cost implications. In this one, a person, in most instances, there's been suspicion also of remuneration in this case since 2011. So in most instances, it cannot be treated the same like the first one. But Chairperson, I still maintain, either way, provisions of our laws, I'm not sure whether they are cruel or what. A person is a convict, you still go and fetch him in prison. I'm saying, honestly speaking, we are lawmakers. To me, honestly speaking, I'm saying, by virtue that this person has been convicted, it clearly shows that the person cannot be declared fit to be a magistrate.
Yeah.
Why still pursue it? Because if you check in terms, I know in this case you are not applying the Labor Relations Act. You apply maybe the Code of Conduct. But I'm saying it. Go and check in other public institutions. Immediately you get arrested. Even if you had a case, it's automatic. So I'm just saying, Chairperson, either way, there's a gap in terms of the provisions of the law. Because to me, honestly, it's cruelty. A person has been convicted, he'll never come back because he's got a record already to be the magistrate. Why still pursue him? I understand the dynamics might be, but well and good, I think either way, I need to be convinced otherwise.
I did ask a question saying, who's supposed to close this, some of these cases? Is the commissioners? Is the parliamentarians? Or is the president of the judiciary? Because I cannot understand. All these cases are almost 3 years, 4 years. Who's supposed to close these cases? I'm interested so that I don't have unnecessary questions, or I don't want to sound as if I've got an attitude with the judiciary. But who's supposed to close these cases?
Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's for the Commission to decide whether to close a matter once there's been the misconduct inquiry has been finalized and concluded and the sanction has been imposed. If there's a sanction for removal from office, of course, we need to have a resolution passed by Parliament to confirm that. And then the minister will remove him or her from office. Otherwise, the commission will impose another sanction. But with regard to Mr. Meraki, one should remember that he also filed an appeal against his criminal conviction. That appeal is still pending, but he's incarcerated. Now, he filed an appeal. He was still actually filing an application for leave to appeal. That application has been removed from the roll because he still argues after 2 or 3 years that the record is incomplete. And the presiding officer said, the record is complete. I remove and extract this matter from the roll. I reject your bail. That's why he has been incarcerated.
In instances where in Parliament may not agree with the resolution of the commission and decide otherwise, what would happen then?
The person, in terms of Section 13F of the Act, whilst these misconduct inquiries are still pending, the investigation into these fitness, his or her fitness to hold office, the provisional suspension is with Parliament. Parliament can pass a resolution to either lift the suspension or not lift the suspension. And we need just to file progress reports in this regard, in regard to the progress made in the misconduct inquiries. If you think it's an unnecessary delay, or whatever the case may be, you can still pass a resolution to either restore him or her to the office of magistrate. So the provisional suspension is then lifted. That's the full consequences of that.
Mr. Chair, really, I have a huge problem when the members of this committee are making a noise and preventing the commission from doing their presentation. I really think that we need to respect the commission, and we need to assist him with that.
Thank you,
Chair. Order, please. The honourable members can't say these members of this committee are making noise while we're asking questions which we believe are necessary to be asked. Chair, please, can we be protected?
Thank you. Point taken. Both sides. Thanks. Hoshi, want to say something?
Yeah, Chair, I think this case brings a lot of things that needs to be re-looked into by ourselves as Parliament. Chair, the Meraki's attorney file and request for leave to appeal, which has been granted. No, it has been granted. It's not. So then if it's not granted, what makes it to think that the decision we can take will have any different bearing? I want to believe that the public office bearer's ethics also made mention that if you get sentenced to a period not having option of this and that, it is automatically, am I right, disqualified you to occupy that office. The sentence of Meraki is for how much period that he should spend in incarceration. Is it not an automatic disqualifying him from occupying a public office bearer, if you were to say it?
Noble Habib?
Chairperson, at times limited information deprives us as the committee to come to a clear sense of what is happening. It was, to me, incarcerate means to imprison. But no one is making mention that there's been an appeal in this case. You know, no one is reflecting nowhere. And if we check Chairperson, perhaps we need to get clarity, because on the same paragraph, it's indicated that on the 26th of September,
2016, which is almost 2 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago. Arrangements have been made for him to appear at the Lichtenberg Courthouse for both parties to address the presiding office on the merits on the 26th of September 2016. What has been the outcome of this meeting? I'm saying this thing, Chairperson, because if we check, when I say we have limited information that is being provided to us, it's very clear, because if they met on the 26th, there should be an outcome. Someone should either indicate to us whether there's an outcome or there's no outcome. But I know for that matter there's supposed to be an outcome from the 26th to date.
Chairperson, the report is dated the 18th of September, so
26th.
The 26th was a week thereafter. I had to serve the heads of arguments with Mr. Meraki, on Mr. Meraki, when he was still incarcerated in Lichtenberg. He refused to see me. We then...
Order, Chairperson.
So he was then...
Order. That is why I'm saying, Chairperson. We are either deliberately deprived access to a comprehensive report so that we make a narrow-made type of a decision. Because I'm saying, this is the information that you want. If he has refused, then what are the implications? You know what is happening now? Only when we throw a stone in the bushes, then that we get something going out. And I'm saying, Chairperson, it's unfair. It's unfair to us as the committee. We need to be briefed holistically so that whatever decision that we say we go for or we are against, at least it's informed on the basis of what is happening. Can we afford the Mr. Mayor an opportunity to give us a comprehensive report? If he has refused to cooperate, then what?
Chairperson, mine is a slightly different question, just a matter of clarity. I sit on the commission myself, but we normally excuse ourselves when it comes to disciplinary matters. Just for a point of clarity on most of these matters, I see that some of these magistrates, their salaries have been suspended in terms of Section 13(4)(a) small a, and that the Magistrates Commission has the right and duty to determine. Otherwise, if they don't invoke that article, their salary continues to be paid out. Under what circumstances will the Magistrates Commission decide to invoke that article? What are the factors that they take into account? And what exactly is the reason that some of the magistrates' salaries have been suspended and not others? It might sound like a stupid question, might even be the most intelligent one for the afternoon, but if I can just get some clarity for my own sake, what are the circumstances? Because if a magistrate has been suspended for quite a long period of time, would it be possible for Parliament perhaps to make a recommendation that the Commission considers suspending their salaries under those circumstances, at least, so that it can limit the costs to the taxpayer? Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Honourable Chairperson, this report is dated the 16th of September. What we conveyed to you as committee, that transpired after the 16th of September, so it was not part of the report. My colleague, she assisted me in drafting this report, but I have this new information which will be part of the next report, which I conveyed to you to say on the 26th of September, this is what transpired.
Chairperson, today is the 12th of October. Even if the report was on the 18th, today the Magistrate Commission is appearing before us on the 12th of October, of which the date of the 26th did pass. Why wait for another quarter for the information that is already available. You know the mistake it's one. I might be right or wrong, Chairperson. It's because currently Mr. Mayor is sitting in this case particularly as a lead evidence person. Automatically, I don't know. Can I be protected, Chairperson? No, I see Mr. Mayor making postures that are really irritating.
Sorry, Chairperson. It was not my intention.
Because what is confusing me, or it's on that other matter that you are a lead person, not on Mr. Morake's case. Okay, no, then it's fine, Chairperson. But postures, Chairperson, if you respect.
The date,
Chair. I don't know whether it will be correct for this house and the magistrate there to, of course, because this report is now, it has so many holes that need to be filled. I don't know whether it's possible that perhaps the report is not noted, but we request them to go and fill in these holes and bring the report back again. I don't know, because you see now the report, it has many holes. Now we need to fill these holes in and bring back the report with the enough information that is required. I don't know whether it will be proper, Chair. Thank you.
Honorable
Thanks, Chair. I just want the process. What is the process? I know there are subcommittees that are in place. There must be ethics. What is the processing of the, is the report first going to the subcommittee? I mean, the subcommittee compared the report then forwarded to the commission, and then the commission, if it's like that, then we'll understand why the report is. But I just want the clarification. What is the procedure of reporting?
Thank you.
But
I think
you are raising something to that cannot be corrected now. Thank
you. No, you're quite right, but he's going to answer. I think the procedure, they need to be signed by the commission, approved by the commission before it's submitted to us. But you have to answer, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I would like to apologize if I was misleading in any, it was not the intention at all. I was not the person leading evidence in this matter. I was just merely assisting the person leading the evidence to have documents filed on behalf of the commission. In this regard, with regard to the criteria of the provisional suspension or rather the withholding of remuneration, one of the criteria would be if a magistrate has been found guilty by a court of law. I think that is so serious that the commission would consider determining to withholding, to recommend and to determine actually to withhold remuneration. That, of course, needs to go to the minister. The minister tables a report in Parliament, and Parliament has to confirm that resolution. The seriousness and the nature of the allegations would also be a factor which the Commission would take into account. But you cannot just withhold the remuneration. It has vast financial implications on the particular magistrate. But the commission took heed of also the judgment in a Van Rooyen matter that even if a magistrate's provision is suspended from office, we may determine to withhold remuneration. But like I said, depending on the nature and the seriousness of the charges, if it's just, for instance, touching on the integrity of the particular magistrate, or there's an element of dishonesty in the charges, I think that would justify a possible determination to withhold remuneration. With regard to the procedure of filing these reports, Chairperson, we update these reports, the progress reports, submitted to the Ethics Committee, the Commission's Ethics Committee, and then it goes to the Commission, and we merely just submit them then to Parliament.
Thank you. I'm not finishing this one. Any more questions? Yes,
No, Chair, I was really requesting that let's take note of the report but consider that the report has holes, let them go and fill in the entire information that we requested, as the as our honourable member says, reflected, and then bring back again this report so that we deal with it properly. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Astrid, about that. Can we proceed with another FBC? FBC, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Khomu is the magistrate in Randburg and has been charged with corruption, and the criminal trial is proceeding, and the Director of Public Prosecution requested the Commission to consider staying the misconduct proceeding in abeyance pending the conclusion of a criminal matter, and the Commission resolved that the misconduct proceeding be stayed in abeyance pending the finalization of this criminal matter, and the case was set down from the 3rd until the 10th of October, also to the 11th, 17 to 19. The Director of Public Prosecution is reporting a progress continuously to the Commission, and the office, the prosecutor leading evidence, advised the Commission that the state was only left with the evidence of 4 witnesses, which they hope, the state hoped to close its case at the end of the dates that have been set down for trial. So the misconduct hearing is stayed pending the finalization of the criminal matter against Mr. Khom.
Thank you, members. Questions, clarity? Yes, Honorable Manipule.
I'm interested to find out whether the process was better applied to Morag on this one, of the suspension of standards, because of in this report it was just want to find out whether because I'm more than concerned that now they started to put the case in abeyance, so we can be there in abeyance for another year. Thank you.
I'm happy.
Chairperson, maybe the typing error. If you go to bullet 2.4, it is saying he was given up until 17 June 2019. I'm not sure whether there's a what is it all.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'd just like to find out from the Commission, according to point 2.7, it says that the criminal case is complex and at a very sensitive stage, and because of that, the Commission resolved to keep the disciplinary hearing in abeyance. If the Commission can just let us know why is this criminal case complex and sensitive? It's, as far as I'm concerned, it's just fraud, in my ignorance. Thank you.
To you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to respond on the salary question. The Commission considered to determine to withhold his salary, but we would like to know what the cause of the delay is. If he is causing the delay in the criminal matter, then we would rather request him to show cause why the Commission should not determine to withhold his remuneration. So we requested a copy of the transcription of the proceedings in the criminal case, and having perused the transcription, the view was held that he was not the only cause, he was not the cause of the delay. So it would be unfair at this stage to determine to withhold his remuneration. That is as far as that question is concerned. I'm leaving it to Ms. McCullough-Markwe to respond to the other question.
Thank you, Chairperson. 2.4, I apologize, it's a typing error, it's 2015. not 2915. The resolution of the commission when it decided to stay the proceeding in abeyance was based on the request from the Director of Public Prosecution. It is the Director of Public Prosecution who approached the commission and requested that they are of the view that if the commission proceeds with the misconduct hearing, it might prejudice the criminal case, and requested that they lead all the evidence of the witnesses. That was taking the commission took into account the nature of the evidence, that the Director of Public Prosecution was the view that rather they be allowed to first lead the evidence and finish the criminal trial before proceeding with the misconduct hearing. It appears we will use same witnesses. The witnesses that will be in the, that the state is calling now, the commission will also have to call. And the Director of Public Prosecution was of the view that they must be allowed to first proceed with the evidence of finished criminal matter. It was due to the factor of prejudice that they thought they might be prejudiced if the commission proceeds, run the misconduct hearing concurrently.
Chairperson, Mr. Mayor, I know we are dealing with you from the learned level of individuals, but I will suggest that you please develop a format that your report should talk to us. You look at the ones that we are having them here. It's common, you are saying introduction one. Then when you go to two, the other one you call it background, the other one you call it discussion. I would add that the fact that you have got an introduction, you must have a closure. And a closure will then summarize things the way we will not even get confused. The way you are tabling it for us, it really make us, to run around, not even be sure whether what we have seen is what you have recommended as the last part, or it's something that you recommended in 2012. Now in the 2016, you are recommending something. Can you have an introduction, whether you call it a discussion or background, but you must have a closure which summarizes the way you have now, come to the conclusion of your thing. The way they are, Chairperson, they seem to will look like we are illiterate, even because of the nature of the report you are giving to us. Please do it in a better way that we'll all understand it, and we'll then, succinct into your recommendations that you wanted us to consider, and then agreed or not agreed.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy.
Chairperson, bear with me if I might sound controversial, but I think it's more relevant and proper. If we're listening earlier on to one of the questions that was posed regarding the circumstances that were around the execution of the provision that withholds the remuneration, an indication was that you look at circumstances. And by the look of things, Chairperson, where we are seated, one might say if it's a matter of corruption, alleged corruption, you stand more chances of saying, honestly speaking, suspend the salary. So I'm just asking myself, these inconsistencies that we see through our naked eyes, is there no way, Mr. Mayor, of ensuring that either there's a development of regulations that would really enhance a measuring tool in terms of saying this warrants this type of a conclusion on a particular matter? Just to cite an example, termination of remuneration, what informs this? What are the circumstances? Try and stipulate them. Not only that, holding the case in abeyance. Like now you are saying you did not withhold for the simple reason that a person has cooperated. Is that adequate enough for us to justify that? So I'm just saying, don't you think it's wise to us as lawmakers to come up and engage the minister around formulating regulations that would really enhance the entire process of discipline within the Magistrate Commission?
Chairperson,
Over to you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I think any guidance that the Commission may receive from Parliament will be received with open hands. But it's very difficult on each and every case, depending on the merits of each case, whether or not to determine to withhold remuneration or not. But if we can have some clear guidance in that regard, I think the Commission will welcome it. But to place it in the regulations, I think it would be very difficult to exclude certain factors, taking into account other factors. It should be guided. The Commission can take cognizance of it and also reconsider drafting its own policy guidelines in this regard, which we do actually. We do refer these matters to the Commission from the Ethics Committee. They deliberate it fully, whether or not it would justify to have in these instances the remuneration withheld, and then it goes to the Commission, and the Commission has a final say to make a recommendation or a determination in this regard. But if Parliament can assist us in drafting guidelines, of course the Commission would welcome it. Thank you, Chair. And thank you for the guidance. So we will draft a report in such a nature that, and such an extent that it will be more user-friendly and more legible for all people.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Mayor. I don't know if is there any question again on this matter of Mkhosi. Sorry? Okay. I just want to know, do we still have questions on this, Mr. Khomo? We don't have any questions. Meaning we accepted the report, but there are recommendations that already the committee has set on developing guidelines and so on. Yeah, thank you. Then we'll go to D. To you, Mr. Mayor. Sorry, Honourable Member.
Mr. Chair, I was just wondering, because I see a new chair, so I was just wondering what happened. Is this Mary Poppins or musical chairs, or what are we doing?
Okay. Thank you. I think the answer, we'll get the answer from the chair. That was just seated there because he was out for a moment. Thank you.
Thank you.
How are you?
No, what is D?
D, yes, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Zanzi was the magistrate in Lanesburg. He was found guilty in the misconduct hearing after he pleaded guilty or admitted guilt. And while the state was proceeding with the criminal charges of driving while under the influence of alcohol, we were informed that on the 12th of July 2016, he passed away. So the commission has closed its file on this matter.
Honourable Chetty.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, you know, as much as we want to make a whole lot of stories about everything else, I think we must be serious about this. If you go through all of the documents now on this one, yeah, it seems, Chair, the only time we're going to get some sort of relief is if somebody dies. Because you see, Chairperson, on the 4th of November 2013, we started with it. Every single time he got the postponement and the adjournment for frivolous reasons. And if you read the documents,
every single time he was told it's frivolous, but he carried on and carried on getting the extension and the postponement and the adjournment. At the very end, 31st of March 2016, he admits to all of the charges. And then he dies. Now, my question here is this, and I think part of what is not coming clearly across to you from our colleagues here is that we're not trying to have a fight with you. But you must understand, we are dealing with magistrates, people that know the law. And you see, they can pull you by the nose, it's acceptable, but they can't do that to us. Because when this comes to us, it undermines us as well. Because if I read this, and I'm just using this one, unfortunately, because the person passed away. And I can make an example to say, the only time he has something happen is if somebody is going to die. Now, we can't wait for them to carry on dragging their feet and pulling us by the nose until they die. And if you really go through this, you'll see, every case, every time he went for the adjournment, it was frivolous. And in the end, he admits, okay, I'm guilty of it. Of my own sin. That's what it says here. If you look at the page 6, 31st of March, Mr. Zante submitted a handwritten document admitting all allegations against him. So what you want to do here is say, this is not the animal farm mentality, where all animals are equal, but some are equal than others. It doesn't mean because they know it, they can do this to us. And we allow you to bring this here, and we accept it. It can't be said. There has to be something in place that puts a stop to this. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think thank you, Honorable Chetty. He has said mouthful, Chair. But I thought it's not the end of everything. The question that one would then ask is, when you retired, the benefits you get. When you get expelled, there are benefits that you forfeit. What is going to happen with this? This is an acceptable. No, it's not about.
You are at easy to go and see that side.
The late Zanzi admit guilty, and what was the process you were working on? Were you then going to say he's guilty? I'm sure you still, you can't just say it's closed. You have to pronounce verdict, because verdict it will tell whether the beneficiaries of the late are entitled to what they were supposed to. What is that they are going to get, and what is that they are not going to get? I think it is unfortunate that we are talking. It's like we knew, even when members were saying, "Oh, you are waiting for these people to die." Now we are in that. We are swimming in that. You know, the real case now. And of course, that alone, Chair, it makes you to not to be what you are, because you know and understand the loss of a family member, whether guilt or not. The fact that we are discussing here, and this is a public institution, the family might even have access to hear us talking about it. Are you saying it? I'm forced by the circumstance that I'm sitting on. because I have to look at the whole nation, the interest of, you know, everybody, whether alive or dead, unfortunately.
Chairperson, I remember when this matter was dealt with, I raised a concern around the wellness program of the commission. Because if you check, we are dealing with a matter that was more involved in alcohol intake. And I remember in that case, there were defense to an extent that we never heard of any move to come up with a clear wellness program, because if you check most of the cases that we have dealt with of the magistrate, either way, there's been a concern around alcohol intake. It's unfortunate Mr. Zanzi is late. May his soul rest in peace. But the fact of the matter, what lessons has the commission picked up in cases that relates to wellness problem? And how best are you intending to improve in terms of addressing these programs? Does this clearly shows deficiency from the side of the commission in terms of ensuring that they manage their wellness program, or what does this imply? And again, Chairperson, if you check the dates, maybe we need to get clarity. On the 31st of March, as indicated by Honorable Tovejani, 3.10, there was a handwritten document where it's alleged that Mr. Zanzi admitted to the allegations. It was on the 31st of March. On the 5th of April, 2016, Mr. Zanzi pleaded not guilty. What does that mean? It's a contradiction. And again, go and check your date just underneath. Maybe it's a typing error again. The 5th and 6th, April 2106. Someone might be rushing when he's typing. Because I'm saying, these records, Chairperson, are records of Parliament and can be contested even in court. It's very clear that there's no proofreading after typing. I know at times we'll say it's a typing error, but if it happens more than once, honestly speaking, I don't know whether it's a clear message to us that let's show you they are not reading their documents. Unfortunately, we read. So I'm just trying to get clarity, Chairperson. What does this mean? Mr. Zanzi pleaded not guilty on the 5th of April, 2016, whereas on this page, 3.10, he admitted in writing that he agrees to the allegation laid upon him. Lastly, earlier on I questioned to say, does it need a person to be incarcerated for him to be still persuaded? And I indicated to honorable members that, honestly speaking, to me it's cruelty. Here we are seated with a case. I whispered to honorable members here that I know for that matter that even a person that is dead will still persuade a case. But only to find out when it comes to his demise is then that we terminate the case against a particular person. I'm just saying, maybe honorable Tovejani put it into a clear perspective. What are the implications? Because this person died without a verdict being confirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Well, honorable Chairperson, honorable members, with regard to the question raised by honorable Mr. Chetty, Mr. Zanzi's postponements, and the presiding officer must take very kind of each and every stage that he's asking for a postponement. If he fails to give a postponement and he takes it to the High Court, we may be failing the commission because on a procedural flaw, and we don't want that to happen. I know in this instance the presiding officers at misconduct inquiries go at length to grant postponements in the interest of justice, and also in the interest of the commission, taking into account the interest of the particular magistrate who's been accused of misconduct, that we would not proceed, we would not hesitate to proceed in the absence of a particular magistrate if it is necessary. And but it's a judicial function of the particular presiding officer whether to grant or not to grant a postponement. And in most instances, we, as persons leaving the evidence appointed by the commission, we oppose these applications for postponements on various grounds. In other matters, we have a lot of applications for recusal, applications, and this is delaying the outcome of the matters and the conclusion of all these misconduct inquiries. But we need to be procedurally and substantively fair, and we need to be accountable to, if he takes us to court, we don't want a dismissal of an application on the grounds of procedural unfairness against the magistrate. But of course, the person leading the evidence is also frustrated, and in most instances, the presiding officer is also frustrated because there's a medical certificate, or there's one instance where the magistrate forgot his glasses in the taxi. He couldn't write and he couldn't take notes. He couldn't cross-examine the witnesses. So and it's very costly. But what do you do as presiding officer, as a magistrate presiding over these misconduct inquiries? So each and every postponement, they need to have ample reasons to motivate that this postponement is a real necessity in the interest of justice, in the interest of this inquiry. Chairperson, with regard to Mr. Zanzi himself, Peter, no, he changed his mind in April. He pleaded guilty in the misconduct inquiry. He admitted all charges. The other charge, the other date, is related to the criminal matter. He was also criminally charged, and he pleaded not guilty on the criminal charge of drunken driving. And this is where the difference comes in. He was found guilty, having admitted. He was found guilty by the presiding officer in the disciplinary inquiry, and a sanction was imposed. We requested a removal from office, but the presiding officer ruled and decided to impose a sanction, to postpone the imposition of a sanction for a period of 12 months on certain conditions. Now, in this period, Mr. Zanzi passed away. After having been appearing in court on a criminal case, he requested a postponement in the criminal case. He wanted to have access to the proceedings of the misconduct inquiry. The matter was postponed, and in that period, he passed away.
Then I didn't hear you telling exactly what's going to happen now for maybe years. According, maybe, is there any package, anything that maybe the family is going to get? Not clear. Thank you.
Chairperson, since he's not removed from office, he was previously suspended from office, so pending this inquiry, the suspension would have been lifted, so he would have get his normal salary package, and this is still the instance as if he could. He's actually passed away whilst on duty, so it's whilst he's in office, so he would receive all the benefits as if he would retire.
Chairperson, can I make a request that it be communicated with the family as reported before the committee? I just want to get further clarity. You are saying this one where he pleaded not guilty was with regard to reckless or negligent driving. But if you read it, and that is where it goes back to what Ntate Thobejane Kgoshi said around how reports are made. If you read the sentence, I'll read it for you. Mr. Zanzi pleaded not guilty on the 5th of April 2016
And on his request, the case was remanded to the 6th of May 2016, to 18th May 2016, and to the 6th to the 8th July 2016, to enable him to obtain a copy of transcription of the disciplinary proceedings which were instituted against him and for trial. How do you link the two?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that, if you go to page 6, up to 3.10, this is paragraph 3.10 is the sanction of the misconduct proceedings. And then paragraph 3.11, the Director of Public Prosecution, that paragraph deals with the criminal charge. And page 7 in the middle says the criminal case against him. So the dates there and what is stated pertain the criminal case against him. That in the criminal case, he requested this postponement. He did not plead guilty. But if you read paragraph 3.10, in the misconduct hearing, he admitted guilt and the sanction was imposed. The sanction imposed for a period of 12 months on various conditions. So it's two different proceedings.
Chairperson, with due respect, I might be a slow thinker perhaps, but I'm saying, how do you link the transcription of the disciplinary proceedings which were instituted against him and for trial? How do you link it with this matter of the reckless driving?
Thank you, Chairperson. Again, in paragraph 3.11, the reasons for postponement are stated. Mr. Zanzi, on his request, he requested postponement to obtain the copy of the transcription of the disciplinary proceedings. So it was him as an accused person in the criminal court who requested a postponement. He needed to advance the reason for the postponement. The reasons was that he wanted to obtain the transcription of the proceedings in the disciplinary hearing.
Noted.
Chairperson,
yeah.
Just a follow-up. I think it's capturing. Please, can capturing be well done, honestly speaking? But I think Chetty, Honorable Chetty, would assist on it.
Yeah. Sorry, Chetty. I have a problem right now. You see, I don't mind capturing and I don't mind if it's typing errors. See, if you go to page 2.2, having received numerous complaints and allegations of misconduct against Mr. Zanzi, the Commission resolved to conduct a preliminary investigation to all of the allegations. The Commission considered the content of the preliminary investigation report and resolved to charge Mr. Nzanzi with 14 counts of misconduct. 14 counts. That's it. No more, no less. Not 10, not 4, not 6, 14. If you go to 3.10, 3.10 states clearly, on 31st March 2016, Mr. Nzanzi submitted a handwritten document admitting all the allegations against him. All. All 14. There's no two cases, there's no separate cases, no separate charges. He supplemented his written admission by stating that he had made the admissions freely and voluntarily, without having been influenced, and whilst in sound and sober stencil. This satisfied the PO at the inquiry to find Mr. Zanzi guilty on all 14 counts. Now again, and I'm saying this with all due respect, if there's something wrong, there's something wrong. If it's a mistake, it's a mistake. But if I'm reading this and we're engaging on the report, now there's no two cases in this. You started off, with 14 counts only. There was no two systems. We have been charging for 14 counts of this, and then we brought in another two or three charges after that. So on this first case, he came and was guilty, and he only gave us the guilty for the 14. And then the other three he hadn't as yet admitted to it. So the entire case is only 14 charges, according to what you gave us here. Now, he can't be saying I'm guilty on the 14 charges and then come back and say, no, I'm now not guilty on the other three. So that's the confusion you're creating for us as well, yeah. Trying to go forward. It's either you captured it wrongly, yeah, or made a mistake, but we can't justify it unless there's more charges. But the report only speaks about 14 charges. And that's a serious concern to me, Chair. Or unless...
unless in my layman's terms, I'm not sure whether I've explained it properly.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to propose that this report, the Commissioner must take it back so that they can come back with the right report very clearly so that you can understand clearly what really happened. At the moment, this report is confused.
Wana?
Chairperson, what I also request of what the UP has said, this report, if you go to it, one paragraph will start at 2050. You will go with that year, all of a sudden get 2016. You look at 2016, all of a sudden go back to 2015. There's no systematical type of presenting so that the person who was not part of this can have insight what was taking place. And according to this report, even go to the background is far from 2015, starting from 2013. I was in the Eastern Cape as a legislature now. When you go to it, it will start at the middle of the reading. This report is on 30 May 2010, on the 3rd of May 2010. There's no systematical follow-up issues and orders. And there's no saying in that such a set the commission has get this ready so that we can recommend, because we're not part of sitting in that commission. And that's the chairman number, you understand what I'm explaining. So this report, most of them, these reports are not conducive for us to take a decision. That's why I decided not to talk, because at some stage, if we have got something that you are fighting with the people, I'm not fighting. I'm just explaining how difficult it is to follow up the cases that are presented to us. As a result, we are sound as if we are not prepared to assist you. We are prepared to assist you, because if these things are convincing, it's us who are going to table to the House. And it's us must give the motivation why we present it, so that the House can have an approval of these things. But at the manner these things are just tabled to us, it's not fair to us. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I think, Mr. Mayor, you understand exactly what the committee said. You have to change the reporting style. At least we must understand how she was mentioned. Because even ourselves, we are not just coming and just note this thing. We have to take up to the full parliament to this report. Now it's difficult to present it to the committee. Honorable Manipule, thank you.
No, I don't know what to say. The compiler, maybe the hearing, certainly the person who's been conducting with the hearing the cases, who compiled the charges. I want to start there. And also who compiled the report. The process, this is why I asked earlier on, deliberately informed, what is the procedure. So this report was tabled also to the subcommittee of ethics. The process is the waiting. So it passes and comes to us. With that day, the long day, and also the drama. I'm not the English person, I don't know the English language. That is just a second language. But the way the grammar is poor report, poor quality report coming from the magistrate commission. This is very poor and poor English, poor grammar. So I'm not sure, maybe they are taking for granted because of we members of parliament, they think that they don't know English. Their magistrate commission will be intimidated by the name of the magistrate commission.
So therefore, we'll just process and read or listen to the presenters, and then so we accept and then we agree proceed. To me, it's also undermining the committee itself, the members of the committee, because of the time and the effort that was put towards compiling this report. This person was done. Just now we have to process, and then also the ethics committee, no, we just want to do the same thing. I don't want to point one, go to paragraph by paragraph, page by page. There are lots of errors in this report, and it shows that this report is misleading the committee. So I then support what the whip of the committee have said, that this report was taken back. And then not only this report, the previous report also have been pointing to it. The previous report has been pointing to it, that there are also errors in other previous reports. I'm not only talking about the typing error. There are grammars, because it puts also out of context. So it's, I'm saying that can we take your work serious, so that you also assist us to take our work serious. We are taking our work serious, but to be able to assist us to make a decision with this regard. Maybe we should also make this at some point, whether the magistrate commissions are doing justice to us. Maybe we have to submit that through one of our own who sit in this committee to communicate to his colleague in that commission to assist us. Could we, George? Please make that intervention. Thank you.
Honourable Mohapi?
Chairperson, correctly said by honourable members, if you check on page 3, he's talking about 14 charges. But if you go to page 3, it's only 11 charges that we see. But again, Chairperson, part of my concern is around wellness. And I remember I said it last time regarding the program from the side of the commission. Can I maybe make a request or add to Honorable Moteto, who suggested that this report specifically be referred back, but we should stipulate time frames where we expect a report to come back with corrections and a clear systematic way, as earlier on suggested by Honorable Wana. But can I also make a request, Chairperson? Because to me, honestly speaking, I might not necessarily say we lost the life as a result of the pressure or whatever, only God knows. But I'm worried about the wellness program of the commission. Can I make a request that part of the submission from the commission should be their wellness program? That would outline all activities that they are envisaging to embark upon in terms of enhancing the wellness of their personnel. Because I'm saying, Chairperson, go to court. If you go to court, it's either it's magistrates that are always faced with problems or the prosecutors, you know. So I'm just saying, Chairperson, honestly speaking, if we want to say take this work serious, we need also to see from the side of the commission, what is it that they're doing to assist these people? Others, Chairperson, if you check their cases, are people that are already on probation, you know. So I'm just saying, if it's possible, I know it might not be relevant, but for information for us, I think I'll appreciate if they can have it, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable George.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, my colleagues are going to be very upset with me, but I find no problem in the fact or in the way in which the report has been set out. I can make a clear distinction between the disciplinary processes and the court process, and they are not linked to each other. It's two different processes. What I would like to ask, however, is with regards to Magistrate Zanzi, who sadly passed away, I can see in paragraph 3.10, it says that he was found guilty, or he agreed to being guilty on the 14 counts, but that it's only been postponed for the purposes of sanctions. Does that not have an effect on his remuneration in the end? He's already been found guilty. And the magistrate, or Mr. Mayor, said earlier that he received his full, the fact that he died, he was still on duty almost, and that the benefits that he received followed that. But he was suspended before he actually died. Does that not have an effect in the end on his remuneration, even though sanction wasn't imposed yet? He already admitted guilt and was subsequently found guilty. Is that not supposed to be sufficient to actually have an effect on his remuneration package? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank
but
you.
Otherwise, I'm happy with the way in which the reports come to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairperson, a case is not concluded up until sanctioning has been effected. Because sanctioning can either say we give a
Chairperson, thank you. On a point of order, my question was aimed at Mr. Mayor, not at the Honourable Colleague. Thank you.
Chairperson, I think I'm still relevant.
Yes.
Because earlier on his comment said, I know I'm going to upset Honourable Members. So I'm not upset, but I'm just saying it on the basis of my input to this meeting. Not to Honourable Member. My input is based on the submissions that is being made to say as far as things are posed to the magistrate is part of this meeting. Equally, we are part of this meeting, hence equally we are participating. So there's nothing that prohibits me to make a comment on any matter that is raised before this committee. It's my right. Chairperson, I'm saying sanctioning concludes the case itself. Without sanctioning, you can't say the case is concluded. You can't. So I'm saying whether Mr. Mayor would say something different, then it's left with Mr. Mayor. But it's my view. I'm saying up until you tell me what is my verdict, you can't say my matter has been concluded. So in this case, let's use common sense. I'm saying it, Chairperson, let's use common sense. This matter was not concluded. The person died before he can even know what has been sanctioned to him. So in this case, you can't say by virtue of it, it's automatic that this person would forfeit whatever that is due to him.
Thank you. Oral May, I want to say something, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I think we had there was a proposal in regard to this report. And I think we need to stick to that proposal because it was supported. Then whatever that is being added now, let the magistrate or Mr. Mayor take whatever it is said and package it in the report when it comes back with this report. I think it's very important that we have the information that is required, Chair. And whatever that the honourable members have already now hinged on, he must also add on that report. Yeah, you see. So, Chair, I think let's stick to that resolution. Thank you, Chair.
I think also we need to engage the minister, because the minister might table this report in Parliament. So we have to engage about those mistakes that we are getting from this report. I think so, that is the right thing that we have to do, because the minister can table the report, yet we said this report must be corrected and put it in a way that should be. Thank you very much. Over to you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I will do my level best to reconstruct the reports as requested to make it more sensible, maybe separate the different inquiries, the criminal matters, where there is a criminal matter, and the process followed in a disciplinary inquiry. I will distinguish them maybe by separate headings or subjects. I'll listened and I heard what the concerns are, and I will try to address them in the next report. Chairperson, with regard to the suspension, he was provisionally suspended from office pending the outcome of this inquiry. He was found guilty of misconduct. The imposition of a sanction has been postponed. postponed on certain conditions. We will explain the conditions in the next report. One of them was inter alia that he should submit himself for rehabilitation. That was one of the conditions. But it's that's part of the that should be part of the report. That would have maybe clarified a lot of questions.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. I think that I think the committee now is becoming happy about that because we need more information. Not happy, but the way that we are going to structure that, the information that the committee is needing. Thank you, honourable members. I think I understand. Let's take to the E.
It's Ms. Van Schalkwyk, Chairperson. Ms. Van Schalkwyk is the Chief Magistrate of Kempton Park. Chairperson, the Commission also charged her with misconduct. You will note that on page 4. The first paragraph, the inquiry was postponed to 30th October for the defence to institute a motion application to the High Court inter alia to seek a declaratory order challenging the validity of the promulgated regulations and the code of conduct for magistrates. The state attorney was instructed to oppose the application. Now, Chairperson, this was one of the matters which the Commission said, well, we'll have to await the outcome of the High Court order because it goes to the very root of our existence, the regulations. They argue that the regulations have been promulgated by the Minister without any consultation with the Commission. Now, this goes back to 1993, December 1994, and I had to assist the DG in drafting a responding affidavit with regard to this. So this matter will be heard only on the 30th. We only got a date now, on the 30th of January 2017. That's when the matter is set down for hearing. In the meanwhile, we proceeded with the misconduct inquiry in the sense that they requested the postponement pending the High Court application. And I think this will be a test case for the Commission as well. If the High Court rules otherwise, I'm sure the Commission will take it up to the SCA. But for in this matter, the person leading the evidence is eager to proceed with the disciplinary inquiry, irrespective of whether there's a High Court application or not. So we're trying to oppose any further applications. The disciplinary inquiry has been set down for the hearing on the 4th of November this year. You will note that the notice of set down is only. The High Court application itself will only be dealt with on the 30th of January next year. So it's up to the presiding officer to decide what to do in the disciplinary inquiry.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Honorable Wanda and Honorable Mohapi.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question to Commissioner. What is the current status? Is she getting salary for the time being? Because of the office, she's the chief magistrate, isn't it? She's the chief magistrate.
Chairperson.
Yes.
And she's getting, and she's still remunerated.
Okay.
Honorable Chetty.
I'm not sure whether we are being consistent or not. I'm not sure whether I heard you right, Mr. Mayor. You did say that this time, irrespective of a High Court or whatever, you wanted to proceed. Am I correct?
The person leading evidence
wants
to proceed.
So you see, where I'm coming from, Chair, to you, is that surely there should be one rule of law. If we can do that here, we should have done it in all cases. You see, it helps us if what we get is consistent, so we ourselves can be consistent. And if there's inconsistency, then you can't fault us now for wanting to question why. In certain cases, it seems as if we are allowed to drag our feet, and no disrespect meant to you. And I want you to understand that. It's like when you read some of the reasons why, like in the last case, the reason for the postponement, were of documents that had no relevance to the matter itself. That was in your report. Okay, the postponement was requested for documents that had no relevance to the issue at hand, but they were still granted. And here we say no, irrespective of the person leading is willing to proceed. So I just want that to be noted here, but inconsistency. And maybe only I notice it, but I'm not sure what other members said as well. Thank you.
Madam Happy.
Chairperson, that is why earlier on I became a bit worried and disturbed when I was asking myself why element of inconsistency. Other cases, someone would decide to hold in abeyance. At some stages, you would hear that a case would proceed with or without a case in court like this one. On the other side, you would hear that would wait for the outcome of a case. For example, in that case of corruption, which Honorable Mr. Mayor admitted that it's a serious matter that is before the court, hence they felt they must not really have concurrent process. So that is why earlier on I asked you, Mr. Mayor, why can't you develop guidelines that would ensure you are human beings? Perhaps I should be specific. Who compiles the report? Who decides on the each and every case, if I may ask?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can you answer, please?
Chairperson, the ultimate responsibility is for the presiding officer to decide whether or not to proceed with a specific a request for a postponement. The commission in this instance requested that we not proceed because this goes to the root we're talking about the regulations. If the regulations are invalid or regarded to be invalid in the sense that the minister promulgated them without any consultation with the commission, then of course the appointment of any magistrate from now on will be null and void, and so is all misconduct inquiries up to date will then be null and void. Chairperson, but with regard to the question of that's consistency, I think it's merely about each and every case has to be dealt with on the merits of its own merits, and in this instance it's different from the Zanzi matter, it's different from the Gomo matter. In Gomo, we had that the DPP requested, please don't proceed with the disciplinary inquiry because it will jeopardize a criminal case. So it's very difficult for the presiding officer also and to motivate, especially in the evidence. It's the ultimate decision of the presiding officer whether to keep the matter in abeyance or not. In the Holland matter, the commission instructed the presiding officer to proceed, and we did proceed. We will deal with that report just now. So it really differs from case to case, and depending on the merits of each case.
Thank you, Aramwana.
Chairperson, we draft the reports. Myself and my colleague draft the reports. We just update them. Sometimes it's difficult we don't want to overburden Parliament with each and every detail, but if you want that to be happening, then we will do that. So we will draft a detailed report on each and every subject.
Thanks, Chairperson. I've learned to this as stated clearly, maybe it's a provision, section 13(13E) of the Act provides that the provisional suspension of a magistrate in terms of paragraph A lapses after 60 days from the date of suspension, unless the commission within that period commence the inquiry. My question is, what is the status currently of this chief magistrate vis-a-vis the provision that is put in place that it mustn't exceed 30 days, which is 3 months, 60 days, which is 2 months? What is the current situation? And what was the, unless the commission within that period commences in the court, is that was done to this case? And what was the delays for so long? And what is the cost involved in all these things that is taking place? Now we have a date of January 2017.
Thank you. I'm happy.
Mr. Mayor, can I remind you, when we dealt with this matter, I'm going to request that in future we get just synopsis of what transpired to meetings preceding the report that is presented. Because let me remind you what I said in that meeting. I said it's so strange. When it comes to the charges of Mrs. Van Schalkwyk, nothing was stipulated in totality that she did this and this and this and this. And in that meeting, I said, why inconsistency? Because when it comes to black magistrate, that is what I used in that meeting. You find that they are charged in terms of this and this and this and this. Again, if you look at this report, it is only talking about 24 charges, but it doesn't specify. Can I get clarity? Why inconsistency again?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will include the charges against Ms. Van Schalkwyk, who is a colored lady. I will include it in the next report, Chairperson.
Thank you.
With regard to the time frame, Chairperson, the Commission charges a magistrate even before, sometimes before a request for provisional suspension has been made, or otherwise the notice will be served on her, the charge will be served on her within 60 days. In all these cases which are in front of you, before you complied with the, within the time frames of the Act.
Members, I want to appeal to all of us, as we have been proposed as by our chief, our whip. Let us close this meeting and tell the commission to go and consolidate a better report than this. Please, Chairperson. And let us proposing what you have been suggesting. Let's meet with the minister as soon as possible. Please, this sitting is not going to take us anywhere.
Thank you. I think this is the last one, and we're still saying that you must go back and rearrange this report. But there is this one, which I think is the last one, condition of upliftment of regional magistrate, Mr. P.S. Holmes. Can you brief us on that one? Then we finish. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Yes.
With regard to this matter, we made considerable progress in the misconduct inquiry in the sense that Mr. Hawley was found guilty and also in this matter he took the commission to the High Court, applying, well, requesting for the decision of the deciding officer to recuse himself, to have that set aside. Also, the fact that the commission proceeded to continue with the misconduct inquiry irrespective of his High Court application. Chairperson, the commission requested the presiding officer to consider to proceed with the misconduct inquiry irrespective of the High Court application, which was done, and Mr. Hawley was duly notified that of the continuation of the inquiry on the 3rd to the 6th of May 2016, and the person not leading evidence was requested to serve a notice for the inquiry to proceed on Mr. Hawley and his legal team, which he duly did, and despite having been duly notified, Mr. Hawley was absent, and having satisfied himself that proper notice was given, the presiding officer ordered the proceedings to continue in Mr. Hawley's absence. The regulations make provision for this, and evidence was led at the inquiry, and which was postponed to the 6th of the 8th of June this year for argument, judgment, and depending on the outcome for the imposition of the sanction. Now, the misconduct inquiry proceeded on the 6th of June, and I presented heads of arguments. That's the person leading the evidence on the merits, and the presiding officer gave a written judgment finding Mr. Guilty of misconduct on all the 10 charges. A local attorney appeared on behalf of Mr. Hawley and again requested the tribunal to postpone this inquiry pending the outcome of his Mr. Hawley's application in the High Court, which was refused. He dismissed, this application was dismissed, and the attorney only remained in attendance and observed the proceedings further. The presiding officer imposed the sanction, and the sanction imposed is that Mr. Hawley should be removed from office in terms of Section 13(4)(a) of the Act, which recommendation and report has been considered by the Commission's Ethics Committee at its meeting held on the 16th of September 2016, and the Ethics Committee recommended to the Commission to endorse the presiding officer's recommendation that Mr. Hawley be removed from office in terms of Section 13(4)(a)(1) of the Act. And so we requested the Secretary of the Commission to place it on the agenda of the full Commission or either on its EXCO. So hopefully by the end of this year, the Commission will make a recommendation to the Minister to have him removed from office, and the Minister has to table a report into Parliament in this regard. With regard to the provisional suspension, the National Assembly requested the liftment of the suspension due to the seriousness of the cases Mr. Hawley was involved in, all these parted matters. He finalized all of them except two, and these are the list of cases which are still outstanding. But there's only two matters still outstanding. So we're just waiting for the Commission to consider, or either its Executive Committee to consider recommending Mr. Hawley's removal from office. Once a decision has been taken in this regard, Mr. Hawley will then be requested to show cause why his remuneration should not be withheld pending a decision of Parliament to remove him from office.
Thank you very much, members. This is the last report, and I'm happy.
Chairperson, only one question. I'm not sure if it's two questions. One, the Magistrate Commission, as and when you institute disciplinary measure without necessarily being preemptive, what is it that you need to achieve out of the disciplinary measure? Two, are there cases where you instituted disciplinary measure and a person managed to emerge not being found guilty?
Mr. Mayor?
Chairperson, with regard to the last question, not not in all cases we request for a suspension of the magistrate. So there are lots of disciplinary matters which are dealt with without being the magistrate being suspended from office or provisions suspended from office. And we do have, in certain instances, I think there were two this year, if I'm not mistaken, where the magistrate was found not guilty of misconduct. But in most of the cases, they're found guilty of misconduct, and then a sanction is imposed, either warning, if it's so serious, then of course we would consider provision suspending, and these are the cases which are before you at the moment. I could not recall the first question.
I'm saying when you institute a disciplinary measure without necessarily being preemptive, what is it that you expect out of the outcome?
Well, Chairperson, the regulations make provision for charging a magistrate with misconduct. It is that serious that if found guilty, he or she should be removed from office. So the emphasis that the Chairperson also requested the Ethics Committee to consider is whether it's, and that's the criteria which the regulations itself says. If it's that serious, if the charges is that serious, or the allegations against the magistrate, are those of such a serious nature as to warrant or justify the removal from office, we should charge the magistrate. Although the imposition of a sanction is in the hands of the presiding officer, and he can still caution or reprimand or impose another sanction, for instance, to subject him or herself for training or counseling or being admitted to a rehabilitation center, whatever the case may be, or postpone the imposition of a sanction, the presiding officer may also recommend the removal from office. And that's only a recommendation which has to be endorsed by the commission, and the commission will only make a recommendation to the minister to have the particular magistrate removed from office.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Members, I think it was our last presentation from the Magistrate Commission. And I think Mr. Mayor will just go and correct those presentations and come back quickly, because I think we need to engage the minister before we go to the NA and present those things. Then we need to engage with him now. So I think if we can come back quickly liaison with the secretariat that you correct all those mistakes. Thank you very much. I can see that the office of the minister is a representative. It would be going to be easy to us to communicate with the minister. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I think we can release you for now. Thank you very much. We are not fighting with you. We are trying to put things right, all of us.
Chairperson, you kept on saying we are not fighting. We are doing what is due from our side. And we are not apologetic about it, Chairperson. No, we are doing oversight. Please stop saying...
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much. Thank you. We can release you. Thanks. Honourable members, there is minutes in front of you, dated the 21st of September 2016. If we can look at the minister, I mean, of the, look at the minutes. Welcome. Thank you, Mam Shabalan. Page 1.
Page 2.
Why are we using 7 and 8 1 as a system of portfolio? Because people who are in 7 are also in 8 1 doing the same thing.
Apologies. You move for the adoption.
Yes.
And the second. Thank you very much. Members, in these minutes, you want to know about our budget. If you look at there is a copy. This is our budget. Listen, this money is not to our coffers, it's control central. You see? So the secretarial is going to bring us the breakdown, what's going on, or the expenditure.
I want to know the person who is doing this, because when I'm adding this column, I'm adding the two columns also.
Thank you, Honourable.
I'm raising this as a concern because of under the item of vehicle hire. You see, that is the bulk of the expenditure that it goes to.
Yeah.
So, to me, says our budget has been wasted on that. I don't know if it's deliberate, because we find out most of our oversight, there will be 8 vehicles hired or 10, and then basically we are only utilizing 4 to 5 vehicles. So I'm just worried then, who's ever doing the logistic and managing this budget? This budget can be
Chairperson, order. Chairperson, on order. Point of order. Order. Order, Madiba. Order. Chairperson, on a yes, point sir. Of yes, order. Yes, sir. No, no, Chairperson, I don't Wait. Understand. Order, members. Let's leave. Yeah, honor me happy. I don't first. Understand. Remember, Chairperson. Order. In this parliament, you can have this as a budget. Yes. But execution is not done by the committee. Let's be honest. So I don't understand why should we discuss this. Because whoever that is doing the, remember, Chairperson, in most instances, you just make your requisition. Someone out there will be doing it. So I'm saying, why are we having this thing as part of our discussion?
No, it's not.
Because if we are discussing it, whoever that is executing this must be called.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm saying, we can't have that approach, Chairperson, please. Members, remember, you said you want to see. No, Chairperson, I'm saying that is why I'm saying it's out of order. Okay. So you don't need now this. Because it's not with us, it's control there. Sorry? Thank you. Another thing, you talk about the trip. And we attend a meeting today. We spoke to the Chairperson. They are willing to approve our trips, which is petition and security. But they were suggesting that why you are not using the same, let's say if they approve the petition trip towards the end of November, then we can go and extend time. If taking a week, then we proceed, not in, because well, if you are living in mid-November, we have to move again in end of November to India. They were suggesting that, I'm sure there is something that we are, but our trips, there is a, in principle, they are about to approve, but we are waiting in writing.
I'm making
Thank
a formal
you.
Proposal that should yourself and the team work on towards the issue of what you are proposing, that to add on it in the meantime, not wait for the time that when the petition has been approved, then only start working. Can you start working on it, and then SOMA submit it, and be on in principle submit it in that can be, because it's corrected moving up and down. Now, if you are tourists, you don't want to be tourists, you want to do the work and finish it once.
Thank you very much for your contribution. Thank you very much.
What
the members, they were asking about our trips. They were, they want to know whether our trips, how far is it, but we're trying to brief them because they said last meeting, they want to know how far is our trip, they want to prepare themselves. It was just briefing them, and Manipule is assisting us, advising us how to do it quickly, how to fast track. Thank you.
Thank you.
The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. 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 Ok